Boasting is never attractive. But have you noticed that despite the fact that no one appreciates a braggart, many people brag anyway? And what about? Their brain power, muscle power, our buying power, anything that makes us feel like we're better than someone else. But when we come to know Jesus, we humbly realize that we have nothing except for His cross to boast about. And it's about that cross we should eagerly boast. Welcome to Every Last Word, a radio and internet program with Dr. Philip Ryken, teaching the whole Bible to change your whole life. Why are Christians so obsessed with the cross? What makes it something to boast about? There are many reasons why we should boast about the cross. The cross of Christ means the death of sin, and it's the greatest demonstration of God the Father's love for His people. Well, Phil, today we're going to talk about something we know that we should only be doing when we're talking about Jesus Christ, that is, to be boastful. Yet, we have a tendency to boast about everything but God.
You know, we live in a boasting kind of culture, don't we? I'm number one. We're number one. Let me tell the world how great I am kind of culture. Of course, if you're trying to follow God and trying to live the Christian life, you're a lot more subtle about it. We have lots of subtle little ways of letting people know how spiritual we are or how successful we are. We want to make sure that people notice what we've done. And most of our boasting, frankly, and unfortunately, and sadly, tragically, is turned towards ourselves and towards our own accomplishments, rather than being put in the place where it ought to be put. And that is boasting about God, boasting about Christ, boasting about His saving work for us on the cross.
It's kind of interesting. You might not look to your Sunday school teacher to come in and talk about, you know, well, you've been boasting a lot lately. It seems maybe a little unusual that Paul would write a letter to the Galatians talking about their boasting. I mean, what were they boasting about and to whom were they boasting?
Well, they were boasting about something very strange to our ears, Mark. Let me just read from Galatians chapter 6. It's our key verse today. Far be it from me, this is the Apostle Paul writing, to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So this is the thing Paul wants to boast about. It's the cross of Christ. But then he goes on to say this, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And that gives us a little clue what the Galatians were boasting about. They were boasting about their circumcision. Now, that seems very strange to us. In fact, my niece, who's probably 10 years old, came running up to her mother between Sunday school and church. And her mother, that is my sister, was standing around talking to a number of her friends. And my niece came up and she said, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, I finally learned what circumcision is." And her mother blushed over that because, of course, circumcision in its, you know, very technical sense has to do with a particular surgical procedure done to a male part of the male body. But for the Jews, it signified so much more because circumcision was a physical sign, really, I think we should call it a sacrament, that distinguished the people of God from the people who did not follow God. So when the Jews were talking about circumcision, they were really talking about the whole Jewish way of life, the whole obeying the law way of life. See, this is really the issue for the Galatian Christians, that it was law-keeping that would really be the thing that would bring salvation. They were tempted to fall back into that way of thinking.
Well, when you think about Paul and you think about the word boasting, you know, if there's anybody in the Bible that could have boasted about his training and credentials, it would have to be Paul. Talk about his background and what it is he could have been boasting about.
Yeah, and occasionally, Mark, Paul would say, you know, if I wanted to boast, I could boast about, and then he would list the kinds of things that people usually would boast about. I mean, he had a great educational background. He had studied with Gamaliel, who was a leading rabbi. I mean, it was kind of like he had been to the, you know, the Harvard or the Oxford of his day. He had that kind of intellectual background. He also had a very devout religious background. He was a Pharisee, so he could say, look, I'm theologically conservative. I'm not one of those theological liberals out there. He could also boast really about his obedience to God's law, you know, go through the commandments. I mean, Paul had been keeping those commandments or at least trying to all his life. That's what he thought, at least until he came to know Christ. He was circumcised, so he had received that sacramental sign of salvation. You know, what more could you ask? At the end of a long list of credentials, Paul could say, look, as far as the law of God is concerned, in terms of outward righteousness, I've lived a blameless life. I can be honest about that. These were the kinds of credentials that Paul had. But he also said, look, none of those things is anything to boast about. And all the things I used to boast about, now I actually consider those spiritual liabilities because I've come to know Christ.
Well, boasting is a very common accepted practice in our modern culture. Just watch ESPN or a rap video. You'll get the idea that everyone boasts about something or the other. Was boasting a popular common practice back in the time of the Bible?
Yeah, when we hear the word boasting in the New Testament, we shouldn't just think about bragging, but it's a wider concept. And your boast is really what you glory in, what your thing is. I remember hearing a man on television talking about he was active in the chili bake-off circuit in Texas. And he said, making chili, that's my thing. You know, whatever our thing is, it may be the sports team that we follow, it may be our career, it may be our family, it may be lots of good things in themselves. The problem is when we take a good thing and make it the ultimate thing. And when we do that, we're boasting, we're glorying, we're finding our joy and our satisfaction in that earthly thing.
Well, if indeed we're finding our joy, our satisfaction, our glory in the cross of Christ, what are some of the things specifically we could boast about?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot to boast about when you talk about the cross. We've been having this series of messages, Mark, on the heart of the cross, and we've been trying to look at the cross from just about every angle that we could. What Jesus said on the cross, what Jesus said after he died on the cross, what the rest of the New Testament says about the cross, and you start looking at all of the different dimensions of salvation, everything that's tied up together in the cross. I mean, there's a lot to boast about. That's why so many hymns and songs of the Christian faith say something or other about the cross. What can we boast about then? Well, we can boast about the fact that sin has been put to death. Sin has been done away with through the cross. Here's God's great triumph over sin through the cross, and that really gives us something to celebrate and to boast in. We can also boast in this, that a once-for-all sacrifice has been made for sin, and so we don't have to keep making sacrifices again and again and again for sin. You know, sometimes I think, Mark, about what my life would be like if, rather than serving as a pastor of a local church, I lived in Old Testament times, and I was a Levitical priest at the temple, and a lot of their work involved the bloody work of making animal sacrifices. They had to do it again and again and again. And, you know, here comes your parishioner. He's done something again this time, and he's got to bring his animal sacrifice for sin. And we can rejoice, celebrate, boast, glory in the fact that when he died on the cross, Jesus made a once and for all sacrifice for sin, and sin was done away with forever. And let me just mention one other thing, Mark. I know I'm giving you a long answer here, but you've got me started boasting about the cross, and so there's a lot to do. You know, we can also boast about the fact that here is really proof that God loves us. The Father sent the Son to die on the cross for our sins. What a powerful demonstration that is of the fatherly love of God.
So perhaps in a way, one reason we can boast about the cross is that it demonstrates God's love for us, his children.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a few things in life more wonderful, Mark, than the love of a father for his child, for his son or his daughter. And when we look at the cross, we are seeing the fatherly love of God. We're not just seeing the love of Jesus, the Son, but also the love of the Father who sent the Son to be our Savior. And this is really something we can rejoice in, something we can boast about, that we are the beloved sons and daughters of our Father God. And I hope our listeners, Mark, will be reminded of that in today's message on the cross, and remember how loved they are by the Father, what joy that brings to life, and what a reason that is for giving God praise.
As always, good to talk with you, Phil. Thank you. Turn with me now in your Bible to Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, and listen to today's message from the series, The Heart of the Cross.
Well, there is something curious about boasting. Perhaps you've noticed it. That is that although no one likes to be around a braggart, everyone brags. People boast about almost anything and everything. They boast about their waistline or about their bank account or about their bowling average or about their travel plans or about their accomplishments. People boast about anything and everything. Recently, a most outlandish boast appeared on television. Commercials are partly about bragging anyway, but this one reached a new low in advertising. There's an automobile company which proudly announced its most impressive safety advance ever, a car that can save your soul. Well, the Apostle Paul in his time may have boasted about many things, but one thing that he never would have boasted about was an automobile. And by the time that he had met Jesus Christ in a personal way, he had made a decision not to boast about anything at all. "May I never boast," he wrote in his letter to the people who lived in Galatia. "Far be it from me to make a boast, or most literally of all, God forbid that I should ever boast." You see, since Paul was a scholar of the Old Testament, he knew that the Bible frowns on boasting. This is what the Lord says, according to the prophet Jeremiah. "Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches." Well, if a man can't boast about his brain power or his muscle power or his buying power, what can he boast about? Nothing at all, says the Bible. King Solomon wisely gave this warning: "Let another praise you and not your own mouth, someone else and not your own lips." In other words, let someone else blow your own horn. You see, boasting is never attractive, and yet the worst of all kinds of boasting is bragging about one's religious accomplishments. Yet that is exactly what some people were doing in the days of Paul. Many of the first Christians were Jews by birth, so they had been circumcised in their infancy. Circumcision was the Old Testament sign of belonging to God's family. So if a Gentile wanted to become part of the Jewish community, he had to be circumcised. Some early Christians thought that circumcision was still a requirement for salvation. Anyone who wants to become a true follower of Jesus Christ, they said, also has to get circumcised in the Old Testament fashion. It may seem strange to our modern ears, but these pro-circumcision people were so proud of being circumcised that they were bragging about it. And the more Gentiles that they could persuade to get circumcised, the more they bragged. This is what the Bible says about them. They want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. Well, religious people don't brag about circumcision the way that they once did, but they still find plenty of things to brag about. They brag about their church attendance, or about their devotional habits, or about their converts, or about their style of worship, or about their particular brand of theology. In one way or another, people find very subtle ways to call attention to how spiritual they are. One of the reasons that some people are so hostile towards the church is because so many Christians can be so smug. Now, Paul himself had plenty of religious things to boast about. On one occasion, he listed some of the highlights of his spiritual resume: circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee; as for zeal, persecuting the church; as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Well, what more could anyone ask for in the Jewish community of those days? Paul had all the right connections. He came from a good family, he had attended the best schools, and he believed the most orthodox theology. The man had as much to boast about as anyone else, if not more so. And yet, he had made a commitment when he came to Jesus Christ not to boast about anything. He did this because he realized he had nothing to boast about. All of his religious accomplishments, he finally concluded, were just a lot of rubbish.
God forbid that he should boast about any of them. Because you see, there is only one thing in all the universe worth boasting about. The Bible allows for this single exception. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The surprising thing about that boast is that in the ancient world, crucifixion was nothing to boast about. We've noticed this on several occasions. We've noticed that the cross was an offense to the Romans and a curse to the Jews. And so the great New Testament scholar named F.F. Bruce concludes that the object of Paul's boasting was, by all ordinary standards of his day, a matter of unrelieved shame, not of boasting. It is difficult to realize the unspeakable horror and loathing which the very mention or thought of the cross provoked in Paul's day. The word cross was unmentionable in polite Roman society. Even when one was being condemned to death by crucifixion, the sentence used an archaic formula which served as a sort of euphemism: hang him on the unlucky tree. And thus it was shocking for Paul even to mention the cross, let alone boast about it. If anything, one would expect the first Christians to deny that Jesus died on the cross. Or perhaps if they were particularly honest, to admit this fact only with the greatest reluctance. And yet, far from being reluctant, Paul wanted to boast about the cross. That which the average Roman citizen regarded as an object of shame was for Paul his pride and his glory. Indeed, the word boast probably isn't strong enough to express his attitude. John Stott writes that there is no exact equivalent in the English language for this word. It means to boast in, to glory in, to trust in, rejoice in, revel in, and live for. The object of our boast or glory fills our horizons, engrosses our attention, and absorbs our time and energy. In a word, our glory is our obsession. So one might ask, why are Christians so obsessed with the cross? Why do they revel in it? What makes it something to boast about? Well, first, the cross means the death of sin. Paul's full statement runs as follows: may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And by the world is meant the world without God in all of its vanity. The world represents the tyranny of sin over humanity. Every human being is born in sin and continues to sin. Even Paul himself was in bondage to sin. He was enslaved to the world with all of its wicked ways. But you see, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ struck a mortal blow to sin's worldly power. It was as if the debt of sin was nailed to the cross with Jesus. He died on the cross not only to atone for sin, but ultimately to bring sin to an end. So the Christian boasts in the cross because it means the beginning of the end of their sin. Sin no longer holds them in its death grip. More and more, the followers of Jesus are becoming dead to all of the temptations and the enticements of the world. And then there's another reason to boast about the cross of Christ. It is the greatest demonstration of God's love. It shows the love of God the Father, who gave up his only Son as a sacrifice to save his people. And therefore, to glory in the cross is to glory in God's love. And a father's love is always something to boast about. This is true at the human level. A father once put a note in his son's lunchbox. It was a simple note. All it said was, "Hope you have a nice day at school. See you when I get home. Love, Dad." Well, when the boy returned home from school, his mother noticed that the note was still stuck in his lunchbox, unopened. Obviously, he hadn't noticed it, and so she pulled the note out and handed it to him, and he opened it and read it, and he began to cry. And so his mother hugged him and asked what was the matter, and the boy said, "I didn't realize Dad loved me that much." You see, that is the power of a father's love. And if that is true, even from a simple note on the human level, how much more true it is at the divine level, when the love comes from the heavenly Father. You see, the cross of Christ shows every child of God how very deeply he or she is loved. Boasting about the cross is a way of saying, "See, my daddy loves me." And this is not an exclusive boast. One of the things that's so unpleasant about boasting is that usually the person that's boasting has something to boast about, but you don't. And yet, the cross of Christ is for everyone. Anyone may come to the cross. Jesus invites everyone to come to him and to have sins forgiven and to receive his love. Therefore, the boast of his cross is open to everyone who will receive Jesus. I want to close with the words of one of the best hymns of the church. It's called "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," and it was written early in the 18th century by Isaac Watts. The hymn is a boast about the cross. It rules out, as you will hear, all other forms of boasting as God forbidden. It speaks of the love which flowed down from the cross with the blood of Christ. And then finally, it ends with a prayer of commitment to Christ, whose death on the cross is the only thing in all the world worth boasting about. And as I read these words, I invite you to make this commitment your own. "When I survey the wondrous cross where the young Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ, my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all."
The cross of Christ shows the children of God just how deeply they are loved by their Father in heaven. You're listening to Every Last Word with Bible teacher Dr. Philip Ryken. What does God think of human pride and its accompanying symptom of boasting? Many have a certain sense of satisfaction from the works they do or the strong faith they claim to possess. God's meritless grace calls for Christians to remain humble in the light of the gift of salvation and to acknowledge the great sin of being prideful. Dr. James Boyce, speaker on the program The Bible Study Hour, addresses this issue of boasting in a free CD we have available for you today. It's called No Grounds for Boasting. Just call us at 1-800-488-1888 and we'll send it out to you for free. Again, the title is No Grounds for Boasting, and the number is 1-800-488-1888. And if you've been encouraged by today's message, it can also be found in the book The Heart of the Cross by Dr. Ryken. We're offering the book to you today for 20% off the original price. I'll mention that phone number once again. It's 1-800-488-1888. All you'll have to do is mention the title, the heart of the cross when you call. Have you been to everylastword.org recently? The website is full of free resources and bits of information to challenge you in your walk with God. While you're there, also click on the link for Reformation 21. It's the online magazine of the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals, the producer of Every Last Word. Inside Reformation 21, you'll find book reviews, articles, and dialogues on current issues. This great magazine is available to you just by visiting everylastword.org. I'm Mark Daniels. Next time, we'll begin a new study looking at the importance of God's tabernacle. That's right here on Every Last Word, teaching the whole Bible to change your whole life.